ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices, text number 37. Bhavan Prithatum Ihavatirno Dharmam Jananam Samayandu Rupam Vinapacharat Avaluktam Madhya Pratehato Vishnu Kalasi Vanya Bhavan Puritratu Ihavatirno Dharmam Jananam Samayanu Rupam Vinam Parachat Avaluk Samadhyā Tadehato Vishnu Kalasi Vanya Bhavan Puritratu Ihavatirno Dharmam Jananam Samayana Rupam Vinam Parachara Avalupta Bhajya Tadehato Vishnu Kalasi Vanya Bhavan Puritratu Ihavatirno Dharmam Jananam Samayana Rupam Vena Pachara Navarupta Madhya Pradehato Vishnu Kalasi Vanya
Yeah.
Bhavan,
Your Majesty,
Pritratum,
just to deliver,
Iha,
in this world,
Avatirna,
incarnated,
Dharma,
religious system,
Jananam,
of the people in general,
Samaya Anurupam,
according to the time and circumstance,
Vena Aparachari, excuse me, Vena Apacharat,
by the misdeeds of King Vena,
Avaluktam,
almost vanished,
Adya,
at the present moment,
Tat,
his,
Dehata,
from the body,
Vishnu,
of Lord Vishnu,
Kala,
part of a plenary portion,
Asi,
you are,
Vainya,
O son of King Vena.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace,
O King Prithu, son of King Vena,
you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu.
Due to the mischievous activities of King Vena, religious principles were almost lost.
At that opportune moment, you descended as incarnation of Lord Vishnu.
Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared in the body of King Vena.
Purport.
The way in which Lord Vishnu kills the demons and protects the faithful is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita.
Prithanaya sarana vinasaya jitra dharma samsarvanardaya sambhavami yuge.
In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I bend myself millennium after millennium.
Bhagavad Gita 4:8.
In two hands, Lord Vishnu always carries a club and a chakra to kill the demons. And in his other two hands, he holds a conch shell and a lotus to give protection to his devotees. When his incarnation is present on this planet or in this universe, the Lord kills the demons and protects his devotees simultaneously. Sometimes, Lord Vishnu appears in his person as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. All of these appearances are mentioned in the Shastras. Sometimes he appears as a Shaktivesha avatar, like Lord Buddha, as explained before. These Shaktivesha avatars are incarnations of Vishnu's power invested in a living entity. Living entities are also part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, but they are not as powerful. Therefore, when a living entity descends as an incarnation of Vishnu, he is especially empowered by the Lord. When King Prithu is described as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, it should be understood that he is a Shaktivesha avatar, part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, and is specifically empowered by him. Any living being acting as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu is thus empowered by Lord Vishnu to preach the bhakti cult. Such a person can act like Lord Vishnu and defeat demons by arguments and preach the bhakti cult exactly according to the principles of Shastra. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever we find someone extraordinary preaching the bhakti cult, we should know that he is especially empowered by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. As confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tarvarta. One cannot explain the glories of the holy name of the Lord without being specifically empowered by him. If one criticizes or finds fault with such an empowered personality, one is to be considered an offender against Lord Vishnu and is punishable. Even though such offenders may dress as Vaishnavas with false tila and mal, they are never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnava. There are many instances of this in the Shastra. Om Jnanatamanantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Malitam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krodhu Vachalam Pangum Nunghaya Degli Yet Pipa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Vidhadarana Vanchikapa Tripishya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaurava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So here it's mentioned that Krishna comes to re-establish religious principles and protect his devotees. So sometimes people ask that now there's so much irreligion, so Krishna comes when there's irreligion, so it seems like it's an appropriate time for Krishna to come right now. Good understanding, right? Well, Krishna has come. He's come in the form of the holy name of Krishna. And actually the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. So this is the latest incarnation of Krishna in the holy name, the form of the holy name. And also not long ago, Lord Chaitanya appeared, Krishna Varana Prasad Krishna, Sandhupam Astaparsana, Yajnaya Sankirtana Praya, Yajnagisa Kairasa. Intelligent people in the age of Kali will worship the personality of God, who, although he's not blackish, he's Krishna himself. And he is accompanied with his very confidential devotees, his weapons, associates. So this is another incarnation of Krishna, the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. He has come to spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. And when he was in India, he himself was going all over India, chanting the holy name of Krishna, giving the holy name, and preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was one period when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, and he was preaching, chanting, Kurukshetra. And there was one Brahmana there, the former Brahmana, who was so moved by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wanted to leave everything behind. He was a wealthy man. But he wanted to leave everything and just go with Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya says, no. Yare deka dare ka Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru anatari. He said, no, you stay. And you instruct everyone at the teachings of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, you become a spiritual master and liberate everyone. So Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to preach the message of Krishna throughout the world. This is his desire. And, of course, this is happening by the mercy of the Jiva Bhagavad. Wanted this medicine, this name of Krishna, this is like medicine for the soul. Nibhatatarasa vigiyamana pravosa totu parokya sa utmo shloka gunana unmang virajeti vinamashukha. that the glorification of Krishna is relished by those who are no longer interested in the false, temporary, so-called pleasures of this world. And this hearing the glories of Krishna, the name of Krishna, the glories of Krishna, this is the medicine that can cure the disease of material life. So everybody is diseased in this world. Maybe there's so many diseases. But the main disease in this world, an epidemic, is false ego. The main disease, which is covering the conditioned soul. And this hearing, the name of Krishna, hearing the glories of Krishna, this cures us of this disease of false ego, ahankara. Ego means identity. So now everybody's going around with false identity, false understanding of who they are. So Krishna has come to give us the true, an understanding of our true identity, and that is Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhikava Sravanadi Sudhichitya Kuriya. Everyone is the eternal servant of Krishna. And this understanding of this reality can come about by hearing. By hearing the message that is given to us by Krishna. And by this hearing we get purified. Vaidyam Pavitam Omkara. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I am that which purifies. Krishna is so pure. However we come in contact with it, we become purified. Especially through his instructions and through his name. We get cured of this disease. And Srila Prabhupada, before he went to the West, he was a he had a pharmaceutical company. So he had many customers. But there was one customer that could see that Prabhupada wasn't just a businessman. He had great love for God. So this customer said to Prabhupada back in the 1930s, "Can you give me the tonic by which I can get the love of God that you have?" The Prabhupada said, "But I can give you the formula. The formula is Janada Pisa Sunitena Aurora Pisa Amanina Amanina Kirtaniya Sadhana." And once you think oneself more than a straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others, without desire and respect, such a state of mind, chant the holy name of the Lord. So this is what we want. We want to constantly think of Krishna, remember Krishna, remember the instructions of Krishna, follow Krishna, bhaja Krishna, guru Krishna shiksha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go door to door and preach Krishna consciousness. And this is what he said you should say to Guru Krishna. Bolo Krishna. You should chant the names of Krishna. Bolo Krishna. Guru Krishna. Bolo Krishna. Bhaja Krishna. Worship Krishna. And follow the instructions of Krishna. So this is the first door to door Sankirtan team. Kali Yuga. What a team, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And sometimes they would knock on the door and people would greet them very nicely and accept their instructions. And sometimes they would close the door and say, "Go away, don't bother us." So, and there was one point when they were going, preaching, they saw one big crowd of people, and there was something going on there. Lord Nityananda asked somebody, "What's going on here?" Oh, this is Jagai and Madai. And they're causing some mischief there. They're lowest of the low. But they were born in very nice Brahmin families, but somehow by bad association they became the most degraded in all of Navadvipa. So Lord Nityananda was thinking, oh, if we can get these two to surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then his glories will spread far and wide. So this is the mood of a servant. The servant wants the glories of their master to be heard wide, all over. So this also should be our mood, that we want everybody to hear of the glories of Prabhupada, the glories of Krishna, the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they went to Jagai and Madai, and they instructed Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shiksha. Follow the instructions of Krishna, worship Krishna, chant the names of Krishna. They became angry. Who are you telling us what to do? It's nonsense. Get out of here, we'll beat you. Started chasing him, and they're running away. Haridas Thakur is thinking, why is Lord Chaitanya? He sent me out with this madman, you know, instructing these drunkards to chant Hare Krishna. So they were able to get away. They were, you know, Jagai and Madai, they were drunk. So they were able to escape. So then they told Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to hear the result of Sankirtan, just like we, when there's Sankirtan, we hear the result the next day. So Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to hear, so what is the result of your preaching? And they said, oh, we saw these two rogues, so low class, so we wanted to save them from their materialistic life, but they so degraded, they started chasing us, wanting to beat us. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, just by your desire that they be saved, they're already saved. They're already delivered. Just by your desire. So then the next day, they went again, preaching. And again, they saw Jagai Madai. And again, out of their kindness, devotees are Paradukaduki. They see others suffering because of pain. So they wanted to relieve them of their suffering. So again, they went and they were preaching to them. But Madai became so angry that he took a pot, clay pot, and he hit Lord Nityananda on the head, drawing blood. But Lord Nityananda, he said, no, no, it's okay. We don't mind it, but please chant the names of Krishna. Please chant the names of Krishna. Get purified. And then Madai, he becomes more angry. You nonsense. You still want us to chant. He's ready to hit him again. And Jagai said, no, no, no. What are you doing? He's been injured, and he's so kind, he's so merciful, he still wants us to chant the names of Krishna. Don't hit him again. But then he stopped. Then word got out. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Lord Nityananda has been struck, been hit. Blood has been drawn. So he came immediately. And as soon as he saw the situation, he said, Chakra! Chakra came. And they could understand. Jagai and Madai could understand. This is it. We're finished. But then they started begging for mercy. And Lord Nityananda said, no, 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 please, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you kill them, then you'll have to kill everybody. This is Kali Yuga. Everybody is so degraded. Please, be merciful. And besides that, Jagai, he stopped Madai. He was going to hit me again. So please, he saved me from being hit again. So as soon as Lord Chaitanya heard that, he took Madai, excuse me, Jagai. He took Jagai and he embraced him. With Lord Chaitanya's long arm, he embraced Jagai. And Jagai, he was, and Mara, they were both so sinful. So as soon as Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai, his body became blackish because of so much sin. And the devotees were looking at Lord Chaitanya, they were shocked. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you looking at me like that?" Said, "Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become you looking like Shyama. You're looking black because you accepted all their sins." The Lord Chaitanya just started chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram." And he went back to his golden color. So now Jagai is in complete ecstasy. You can imagine being embraced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was just in complete prema. He was in ecstasy. Then Madai says to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "But Jagai and myself, we're the same. We're brothers. We did the same sinful activities. Please, you have to be merciful to me also. Please, be merciful to me." "No, you've offended Lord Nityananda. You're an offender. And your only hope is that you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. You have to be forgiven by Lord Nityananda." So, of course, Madai immediately dandavat to Lord Nityananda, begging for mercy. And of course, Lord Nityananda is very merciful. So he forgave him for his offense. And then Lord Chaitanya says that, "I'll accept the two of you, but you have to promise no more sinful activity." And they promised that they would no longer commit any sin. So these two became such great Vaishnavas that they are some of the branches of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They became very exalted. Actually, these two, previously, they were Jayan Vijayan. So they offended the four Kumaras, so they were cursed by the Kumaras to take birth in the material world three times as demons. They had a choice. They could have gone seven births as devotees or three as demons, but they wanted to get back as soon as possible. Okay, three births as demons. So. But then, in the last of those three births, they heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appearing. So they wanted to get this darshan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they begged for mercy that they could also take birth at that time. So that's why they took birth at the time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was their last birth. Then they went back to Vaikuntha. So we can also get this mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we have to approach the Jagais and Madais. And there's a lot of them here in Nairobi. All over the world, there's so many Jagais and Madais. And we're seeing so many Jagais and Madais have become devotees. Now, they were crows, and now they've become swans all over the world. So this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we want to help people to see what is reality. Now people are blinded by ignorance. It's like throughout the universe, all the universities around the world practically speak. They're all teaching attachment, material attachment, material enjoyment. But what are we teaching? We're teaching detachment. Vairagya Vidya Nityabhakti Yoga Siksharthanaitam Kushapra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sridhari, Pipam Pudyas Namah. Sarvam Bhattacharya, he wrote this beautiful verse about the glory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he has appeared because he's an ocean of mercy. And he's appeared to teach us Vairagya, Vidya, and Bhakti Yoga, detachment. Knowledge, and eventually love of Krishna. So this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by this detachment, then there's room for us to become attached. See, we're not just interested in detachment, we also want to become attached. We want to become attached to Krishna, detached from Maya. So we learn how to be detached from hearing. I think I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a king, and we're talking about hundreds of years ago, centuries ago, back in the Middle Ages. It wasn't very common that someone would try to poison the king. So you would have a servant to check the food, to make sure there's no poison. I don't know how it was checked. They would check the poison. So imagine there's a king. He's getting ready to have his lunch. It's a big setup for his lunch. And he's just getting ready to dig in. And his secretary comes and says, "King, I just got word that there's poison in the food. Your servants weren't able to catch it. There's poison in your food." So immediately, he becomes detached. Before he heard that, he was very attached. He was ready to chow down on his boat. But then as soon as he got that message, so previously also, we were all very much absorbed in sense gratification. Then somehow we got this message in Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Purports by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. So we get the message. Don't mess with sense gratification. It's poison. Better serve Krishna. So therefore we have to hear again and again to remind us that this material life is not a nice life. It's poison. And it'll cause our spiritual death. But if we take seriously Krishna consciousness, then we become alive. Therefore it's stated, Neta yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kapate nityur tapada sevaya jivan api ato yu. That if one's work does not bring one to dharma, a religious life, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation. And if one's renunciation does not bring one to devotional service, then one is considered to be dead, although breathing. So there's a lot of people like that on the planet now that aren't engaged in devotional service. They're not detached. They're very attached to material life. So you could call this material world, the land of the living dead. They appear to be alive, they're breathing, but they're dead, spiritually. Just like ourselves, we were also dead spiritually. And now we've come in contact with this divine message and we're coming alive. So we also want others to come alive in their spiritual life. And that's what this book distribution is about. People become alive in spiritual life. Prabhupada says in one purport, the pure devotee does not have a material body because of his being surcharged with the identical interests of Krishna. Very powerful statement. And anybody that comes in contact with a pure devotee also becomes surcharged with the identical interests of Krishna. It's just like if you have an electrical wire, a hot wire, and someone touches it, he gets electrocuted, right? And someone touches him, he also gets electrocuted. And it can go on. Anybody touches him, he gets electrocuted. Anybody touches him. So it can go on and on. I don't know how long that can go, but it can go on. So Prabhupada is surcharged with the identical interest of Krishna. What is that interest? To spread Krishna consciousness. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he would be preaching in South India, and people would come in contact with Krishna, and they would just become infused with devotion to Krishna. They would just become so Krishna conscious. By that association with Lord Chaitanya, they would go back to their village, and they were just so ecstatic, they were so surcharged with Krishna consciousness, that their whole village would become devotees of Krishna. And this is just going on all over, and it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the whole of South India became Vaishnavas by the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everybody was getting surcharged by this, by the ecstatic presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is going on now. People are getting Prabhupada's books and they're getting surcharged with Krishna consciousness. So we just have to get out more and more and more books. We don't know what's going to happen. It's like when Prabhupada, he received the order of his spiritual master to preach in the English-speaking country. He couldn't understand what. And he said, I took that order blindly, not knowing what the result was going to be. So we don't know what the result was going to be, but we know many, many, many positive things have happened by this book distribution. So many people have become purified by this distribution of transcendental literature. So people are blind. We want them to see. Janaka Pandit, he says there's four types of blindness. There's blinded by pride, there's blinded by greed, there's blinded by lust, and there's blinded by ignorance. So which do you think is the worst? Yes, blinded by pride, that's the worst. Because if someone is proud, they can't take any good instruction. Who are you to tell me what to do? Pride. And even it's said that you give a fool, a proud fool, good instruction, what does he do? He becomes angry. So you can't give a proud person good instruction. Also, the other people are also difficult, but pride is the most difficult. So therefore, humility is the crown jewel of devotional service. Humility is so important. Therefore, this verse is there, Janata Bhishmi Chena. And Krishnadas Kaviraj says this verse should be worn around one's neck, strung by the holy name. So important. So lust is also a major problem. Kamesh, Krodesha, Rajguru, Smudvam, Asanam, Aham, Vijayanam, Nivaram. Krishna says it is lust only or just born of the mode of passion, transformed into anger, into all devouring sinful enemy of the world. The greatest enemy of the world is lust. And Krishna explains where this lust is. It's in the mind, the intelligence, and it's in the senses. So we're permeated, we're surrounded by the enemy. What to do? That which can destroy, the enemy has to also go within. And that's the Hare Krishna mantra, the theory of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. This spiritual energy also goes with them, and it destroys the enemy. So therefore, we have to hear and chant again and again and again. We have to become addicted to hearing about Krishna, addicted to being connected to Krishna. Then the enemy will be destroyed. And actually, this lust is like a perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. It's just covering. Just like if you have a magnet, and you have a rusty piece of iron, the iron is not going to be attracted to the magnet. Right? But if the rust is not there, then the iron is attracted to the magnet automatically, naturally. So we're also naturally attracted to Krishna, everyone actually. But we're covered by this lust. So just as if you scrape off this rust from the iron, eventually the attraction will be there again to the magnet. So similarly, if we scrape off this lust from the soul, then again we'll be attracted to Krishna. So what we're doing, and what we're hearing and chanting, is we're scraping off this rusty lust. And then we'll again be attracted to Krishna. But as long as this lust is there, the full attraction won't be there. But when it's completely removed, then the full attraction for Krishna will be there again. So, blinded by greed, the other one, people are very greedy. Huh? So there's so much greed. People want more and more and more. A millionaire is not satisfied. No, I want to be a billionaire. Everybody wants more and more and more. Not satisfied. So, therefore, what is our motto in Krishna consciousness? Simple living? High thinking. We don't need much. We don't need much to live. Go to prasadam, roof over our head, got our japa beads, some seva, we're happy. We don't need much. We don't need a big fancy car, a big, you know, big house. You know, people are so greedy to get these things. They want a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW or a big house. But what's a big house? Bricks. It's just bricks. Bricks, you know, just more bricks piled up. You know, the poor people, they have less bricks. The rich people, they have more bricks, but they're just bricks. I mean, do you ever see people embracing bricks? You know, they're just bricks. You know, painted nicely, and they have their, you know, maybe marble floor. What is marble? It's just stone. So it just creates a solution. And what's a Mercedes-Benz? It's steel. Steel and aluminum. Rubber. But what is it? False prestige. It's a false understanding of what is actually nice. What is really nice is devotion. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he says, Prema Dana Vana Vyati Viridu Jiva. Does it good, Vitarina Mori? They have Prema Dana. He says, if one does not have love of Krishna in their life, then they are poverty stricken. They're poor. Lord Chaitanya is playing the role of a devotee. Therefore, he prays to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, therefore, please, I beg you, bless me with devotional service. And all I want in return for my service to you is love. But we also have a desire. We're not desirous. We want love of Krishna. So practically everybody is in this material world. They're poverty stricken. They may be a billionaire, but if they don't have love for Krishna, poverty stricken. And someone may be very poor, but they have love for Krishna, then They're rich. That group of Goswamis, Sanatana Goswami, they were very rich. They were ministers. They gave it all up. Went to Vrindavan, and they were living under a different tree every night. No money. Poverty stricken. They were homeless, but they were the wealthiest. They were the wealthiest on the planet. And also, Raghunath Das Goswami, son of a multi-billionaire, gave it all up, also went to Vrindavan, living under a different tree. They gave up all their material wealth and attained spiritual wealth, real wealth. So this is the real wealth, this love position. Material wealth, like Lakshmi, she comes and goes. The green. Material wealth, the material today is gone tomorrow. But spiritual wealth, not the same. Prabhupada says, I was listening to a lecture once, and Prabhupada said, Krishna is an expert accountant. He's the best at everything. He's the best accountant. He knows everything that we're doing. And everything we do for him, it's going in our account, our spiritual account. And the more we do things for Krishna, spiritual things for Krishna, we're increasing our spiritual bank account. So therefore, we should want to do more and more and more and more for Krishna. And then, at the time of death, Krishna sees, oh, such a big spiritual bank account. Very good. All right, come on. Let's go. You got it. Back home. But there's another accountant, Yamaraj. He's also very expert. And he's keeping account of all sinful activity. So we don't want to be in that account at all. We want to be in Krishna. We want Krishna to be our accountant then. And see, not that we use him, but we want him to see what we're doing throughout this life. And we want to please him with everything that we're doing, and then he'll accept it. And this actually is what causes this person. Because there's a statement that Krishna, he is Swaraj, which means he's independent. He doesn't have to do anything. Now, I'm reading Prabhupada's books for so many years, and I kept on coming to this word causeless. Causeless mercy of Krishna. But we all know Krishna is Sarva Karana Karana. He's the cause of all causes. So I'm wondering, why is that there so much? This word, causeless. And I looked it up in the database. 2,900 times you'll find this word, causeless, in Prabhupada's books. So I'm thinking, why is that? So I asked many senior devotees, sannyasis, gurus, why is this there so much? So I wasn't real satisfied until I spoke to one devotee, Dravida Das, who is the editor of Prabhupada's books. He's been editing Prabhupada's books for the past 40 years. So he really knows Prabhupada's books. So he said one verse. I don't remember the Sanskrit now. But he says that Krishna cannot be attained by much by erudite scholarship, by giving wonderful discourses, nor even by much hearing. But it can be attained only by those persons whom he chooses, because he's independent. Now one may say, well, but I'm hearing and chanting, and what if Krishna doesn't choose? Just doesn't choose. Well, then he says, in
the Bhagavad Gita. Tesam sarakyutanam bhajitam pritipurusam vidami buddhi yogam tenu. He says, to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna, he's independent, he's Svarat, but he's also an ocean of mercy. So he's very kind. So we don't have to worry. If we're sincerely engaged 100% in the service of Krishna, he will choose that devotee. But this is why that word is there, causeless, because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do anything. We have to do so many things, right? So many things we have to do just to get a roof over our head, food, and we have to work. We have to go to the restroom, we have to do so many things. Krishna doesn't have to do anything at all. So if he does give his mercy to someone, that's costly, because he doesn't have to. And someone may say, well, love is the cause. But sometimes he gives his mercy to people that don't love him. Just like, you know, this Amoga. Amoga was the son-in-law of Sarvabhaumacharya. So Sarvabhaumacharya, he was serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prasad at his home. And the son-in-law of Sarvabhaumacharya, he saw the arrangement, all the food that was being served to Lord Chaitanya. And he said, what is this? What kind of a sannyasi is this? This is enough food for 20 people. What kind of a sannyasi is this? So as soon as Sarvabhaumacharya heard that, he looked at Amoga with like fire in his eyes, ready to burn him. And he got a stick and he's chasing him down there. So Sarvabhaumacharya, he felt so bad that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been offended by this rascal Amoga. So, no, Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's okay, he's right, you know, I'm a sannyasi, they should be eating all this. You know, they took it lightly, no problem. So Lord Chaitanya left, and then the next day he asked Gopinath, who was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhaumacharya, how is Sarvabhaumacharya doing? And he said, oh, Lord, he's fasting, because he feels, him and his wife, they're fasting, because they felt so bad that he had been offended at their home. And Lord Chaitanya said, why are they like this? Why are they fasting? It's okay. It's not a problem. And how about Amoga? How's Amoga? Amoga, well, Lord Chaitanya, he's dying of cholera. He's dying. So immediately Lord Chaitanya went to where Amoga was on his deathbed. And he said, Amoga, why have you allowed this chandala of envy to enter into your heart? You're born into a very nice Brahmana family. Why have you allowed this poison to enter into your heart? Then he put his hand on the chest of Amoga. He said, now Amoga, chant the holy name of Krishna and be free of poison. So immediately Amoga started chanting the holy name of Krishna in ecstasy. He was feeling complete ecstasy. His hairs were standing on end. Tears were coming from his eyes. His body was shivering. Complete ecstasy. And then he takes his hand and he's slapping his mouth as hard as he can. Just again and again, he's slapping his mouth. Just as hard as he can, he's slapping it. He says, this mouth, this demoniac mouth has blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's just slapping his mouth and it's becoming swollen. Because he's slapping it as hard as he can. And Gopinath, he's like, I can't believe this is happening. So he stops, he grabs his arm. You know, stop, you're going to hurt yourself. No, I blasted the Supreme Personality of God, and he's trying to slap it again. And Gopinath, no, stop, you're going to hurt yourself. So here's an example. Total envy of Lord Chaitanya, but he got love of Krishna. Causes mercy. So many examples. So if Amoga is so envious
of Lord Chaitanya gets love of God, what to speak of those who devote themselves? So give this person. We just have to show, we have to give this devotion to Krishna. No more devotion from Maya. We won't attain any satisfaction. With Guru Maharaj, any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes. Okay, you're going to have to speak loudly because I can't hear what you're saying. Loudly. Can someone be proud of being a devotee? Yes, that's good pride. That's okay. You can be proud of being a devotee. You can be proud of Krishna. Just like I remember when I was, before I joined, I was practicing another yoga path. And there they said that a humble person, an advanced soul, is someone when he walks, he has his head down. I thought, okay, that kind of makes sense. He's humble, he keeps his head down. But then I've seen so many pictures of Prabhupada. So many pictures, his head's up like this. He's chanting, dropping, his head's up like this. He's proud of Krishna. So that's okay. We can be proud of Krishna, we can be proud of the devotee. We can be proud of the process. Proud of Krishna. Yeah, that's okay. But we shouldn't be proud of any ability we have. There's a nice statement, Mahadvir Bhakti Nishtaischa, that devotees of the Lord do not think that the services they do or the devotion they have is due to their own action, but that they are expressions of the Lord's supreme mercy. It's a very important thing for devotees to remember. That it's not due to our own ability, but they are expressions of the Lord's supreme mercy. That we're all here, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, is the mercy of the Lord. We shouldn't think that it's due to our sincerity, intelligence, or that. Okay, you had another question? I just that last part I didn't catch. What's wrong with black people? Krishna is Shyam. Krishna is black. It was just the dirt. It was like, just like if I don't take a bath for maybe 30 years, my body's going to get black because it's dirty. Nothing black is, it's wrong. Don't take it personally. Anyway, you're not black anyway. There's no black people here. You're all spirit soul. I'm not white. You're not black. You're not brown. This is all just bodily conception of life. Yeah. Don't take it personally. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Guru. What's that? Okay. I didn't understand what you said also. Be confident. So you're making a statement. Okay, I don't understand what you're saying.
Yes, when someone is very confident, he walks with his head up.
Oh, okay. Well, someone is confident, they walk with their head up. All right. Okay. That's all right. We can be confident. But we shouldn't be confident
of our own ability. We can be confident that we'll get the mercy of Krishna. We can be confident that by serving Krishna, all good results will come. All success will come. That's all right, we can be confident. That's actually one of the important aspects of devotional service. Enthusiasm. We have to be enthusiastic. We have to be confident. It's very important. We have to have faith that by practicing this process, I'll attain all success. So that's okay. Yes? But those who devote themselves are in me, and I am in them. Exactly. That's why I just gave the example of a boga. He wasn't devoted. So Krishna, he's independent. But he also says where he generally gives his mercy. Manmana bhavapatvaktu, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So he gives direction on where he generally gives his mercy. But still, he's independent. He doesn't have to. So it's sometimes a little difficult for us to understand what this word means. Completely independent. He doesn't have to do anything. We have to do so many things. Krishna doesn't have to do anything. But still he gives his general mood. His general direction.
Now, the reason I'm asking is because sometimes we find some traveling. One sense, my mind, because they're not Krishna conscious, but they're better, they have better quality. They're kind, you know, they talk sweetly, they have better relationships than people. But if Krishna will give them the mercy, then, I mean, what will be left that Krishna will give to them?
Well, some people just naturally are in the mode of goodness due to their past life. And some devotees, they may be, due to their past life, they may have some passionate qualities, even ignorant qualities. But due to even greater fortune, they're able to embrace Krishna consciousness somehow. So, and therefore there may have to be some of those passionate qualities, and not so refined qualities as some people you may see in the material world who are in the mode of goodness. But still, the persons who take the Krishna consciousness, who have these sometimes, you know, passionate or ignorant or, you know, mixed qualities, they're more fortunate because they're taking to Krishna consciousness. And their qualities of, you know, passion and ignorance, they become purified of that. And they also come to the mode of goodness and eventually Prashuddha Sattva, which means pure goodness. So there's many people that are in the mode of goodness, like you say, but they can't take the Krishna consciousness. They refuse. And there's many atheists that are very, very nice, you know, very gentle, and they appear pure, but they don't want anything to do with God. So, and Krishna even says, Udva Kutsanti Sattvasa Majit Santi Rajasa, that those in the mode of goodness, they go up to the higher planetary system. Just see how liberal Krishna is. Someone can be in the mode of goodness, no interest in God, but they can go to heaven just because of being very, very much in the mode of goodness. No passion, no ignorance, just very pure. That's how liberal Krishna is. But they can't attain the highest. And therefore, chinye punye marchilokam vashanti. They can reach the higher planetary system, but because they're not interested in God, again, they come down. And who knows what their future is after that. So, someone can come to Krishna consciousness from any mode of nature, ignorance or passion or goodness, but that they've taken to Krishna consciousness goes to their great credit. And eventually, if they stick with it, they get purified. They become free of the modes of nature. And Prabhupada says, they enter into the mode of pure devotional service. That's another mode. It was interesting when I read that. The mode of pure devotional service. That's what we want to enter. Give up all the other ones and just become very attached to attaining that mode. Pure devotional service. Okay? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.